works.
Alrighty, so I've got notes because it kind of keeps me on track, but I think I rarely ever give a message that I've given before, because it's kind of the Lord love y'all so much, you know, he knows what you need, right? But I go not to speak to people, I speak to a territory, the things which are not seen. So, you know, you're in the room, but there's others in the room too, right? Mm-hmm. And the other part, other thing, since I started walking and believing about my impartation and my calling, I got an upgrade a year and a half ago where wherever I teach, there's two fiery ones that show up too. And what they do is they run around the room to prepare you for the message. They prepare you for the impartation. So I thought, does that work online too? Yep. I said, well, how did the two go to a house in New Jersey and go to Texas and go to Australia? He says, don't worry about it. They do what they do very well. So in this room, so when I first said that, I thought fiery ones were seraphim, right? You know, scripture, chapter, verse. And then I said, Father, thank you for the seraphim. He goes, the what? You know, the fiery ones. They're not seraphim. I was like, well, the chapter and verse says seraphim. You're not going to follow your own word. We're not going to talk anymore. And so he goes, I never said seraphim. I go, then he goes, I said fiery ones. I go, seraphim. He goes, nope. And I go, can I have a hint? <You know? laughs> And so in Genesis, when Adam and Eve were escorted out the garden, he put a cherub and a flaming sword.
Yes.
He goes, that's the flaming ones. So in this room now, there's two flaming ones that are doing kind of like a convection oven type deal. Right? And I'm like, what? So they help prepare you for the word, right? So that's cool. So, yay, fun things. I was supposed to do this too. Every session, ask permission. So, I'm asking you guys permission to partner with you, okay? Which means not drag you to believe something that I'm going to say, right? So, I'm going to share stuff that may be out of your paradigm, and I'm asking permission right now. So, don't raise your hands, don't nod, and go, yeah, don't do that. But in your heart, okay, hear what I'm saying, and then make a decision, okay, in your heart. And so so I'm asking permission to partner with you guys, to not drag you anywhere, to not push you. Well, maybe a little push, but no dragging. I'm asking permission to see into your now. And so what that means is you see yourselves as you see yourselves, but I'm not going to talk to who you think you are. I'm going to start speaking to who I see you are, who I believe the Father's showing me, and into your future, right? So I'm not speaking to your current situation or circumstances. I'm going to be speaking beyond that. So so I'm asking permission to go there and not to where, well, you know, right now my husband thinks, okay, it's good, but I'm going beyond that, okay? So that's what I'm, so in your heart, go yes, no. I'm asking you to volunteer, to engage, to open up and receive spirit in life. Not words and knowledge, okay? Jesus spoke spirit and life, right? So I'm releasing spirit and life, and you have the option, the decision to receive or not receive, right? So I'm here on assignment. You're here on assignment too, whether you know it or not, but it's still your option to receive, right? So I'm asking permission for the partner here together, right? And just to tell you again, transformation begins with decisions, right? So the decision you made to come was the beginning of your letting the Father work in you, right? And you can continue to partner with Him if you continue to agree with Him. Not the person up front, but with Him, okay? So that's the part. The meeting is more powerful and effective if you participate. That's for y'all. And then I was supposed to tell you too that, and this is one thing I love about teaching is I learn so much in preparation, right? So I get all these like bonus stuff, right? It's for them. Can I have some of that too? Yes, you can. It's like making a cake, you know, you make a cake, you know, and my grandfather was a baker and taught my father, and when you make a really good cake, you actually cut the sides off and you freeze it and you ice it. So, but all the sides, the baker can eat those, right? You know, so when I'm preparing a cake, I get the bonus stuff too, right? So I prepare a message. So I got this one, this is for you, but I get to keep it too. We need to change our paradigm. A lot of change, but I don't know if you guys do this, but in my until 2 days ago, I always, you know, the scripture, we go from glory to glory, and when I wash my hand, I go glory to glory, strength to strength. And I think of the stairs, right? I'm like, I'm a level one, I'm the ninth grader, and I go to, so I'm walking up a staircase, right? And I'm just, you know, and I'm linear thinking, right? And just 2 days ago, he goes, no, it was on the fly. He goes, that's wrong. I'm like, I can't be wrong. I've taught on, I got tapes, I got books, you know. And I've already documented it. And I've got some verses too. Right? And he goes, leave the linear paradigm. As in, linear means I must go here, then here, then here. This is linear, right? Mm-hmm. He goes, the paradigm is circular.
Yes.
I'm like, look, and I went tilt. There's no scripture for it. And I'm like, going, so as I'm, because we're going to talk about being in Him and really maturing. We're going to talk about this maturity. We're going to talk about growth, right? And so we're going to go to, you've heard of the Yod Heh Vav Heh. So I've taught this. I taught it before. We go to the Yod, and we go to the Hey, and we go to the Vav, and we go to the Hey, and it's linear, right? He says, that was nice then, in January. But when you step in Him, right, and we're like, well, I'm now here, and I'm looking at the Yod, and you've heard about engaging with the Hebrew letters, so good. So I'm thinking linear, first Yod, then Hey. And he goes, well, you know, that was good, you know, but what if I, the Father, want to take you to Vav? No, I must go straight, you know, I must go line. And what he was showing me is if you're inside of Him, on Monday, He may want you to go this way. Uh-huh. And Tuesday, this way. Uh-huh. And I was going like, no, we have to go. And it's such a Greek mindset, right?
Yeah.
And so the Father can accelerate you at His will if you're willing, if you go His way. Now, if you want to go the long way, He'll go with you the long way, you know. But I was like, going, because we're going to talk about today becoming mature, right? And this process, but it's not limited by time. It's not limited by linear thinking. You can be a mighty man, woman in the Lord, like that. And I'm like, well, no. I've been typing the Bibles, all this stuff, and there's progression and step by step. And I'm like, so are you saying that my thinking limits my growth? And it does. That's why we have to set our mind on things above. Which means stop thinking or stop trying to organize me and let me lead you, right? Because we know in Romans it says that sons are led, right? And sons don't lead, sons follow the Father, right? And today we're going to talk about getting to that place where you're called to be, okay? The place you're called to be, and some of you might have heard, well, I hit it a little bit, the Greek for technon and helos. Technon is child, right? Helos is mature son. And I was like, yay, happy, sons of God, son. And the Father goes, that's not the end. You're called to be a grown man, a king who rules, okay? Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do, we're going to journey from Yod to Hey, to Vav, to Hey. Now some of you know that it's lion, ox, eagle, man. That man is not just a guy with a suit on. It's a ruling, powerful king. That's how the Father sees you. That's the mature you. Just not a son who's growing, just not a child who got saved, who's in the Father's hands, right? He wants to go the full distance. I was very happy with getting on the inside, right? I'm in Him. He wants to go the rest of the way to be the mature man. You are the fourth person, the Yod Heh Vav Heh.
Thank you, Lord.
That's who you really are. That's what the shirt says, not a human being. When you step into the kingdom, you become a new creation, Christ Jesus, right? And if you look through the scriptures, we talk about, you know, everyone who's done anything pro-life, anti-abortion, we know the scriptures and Psalms, you've been knit in the Father's womb. So we know about how he built us naturally, but the intricacy is how he built us as a new creation, or even more so, right?
Yeah.
But it's a process both ways, right? And you can support the process or resist the process. And I'm hoping we'll learn not to resist or drag our heels as much. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, is this, how do we get there? You know, what is the objective? What is the goal? Where are we going? You know, it's great to have an encounter and meet some folks and stuff, you know, but that's not the end game. The end game is you being God, hey, lion, ox, eagle, that man. You three, it's you and the Trinity holding hands together. That's the circle that should not be broken. And you've got to realize who you really are and the elevation, you know. Yeah, you were a worm. That was then. This is now, right? And if you disagree with that, the Father can't make you. He can't make you that man. He can't make you that influential in your sphere. He can't give you that mountain. Now, you may sit on that mountaintop, but you're not functioning as you're called to be. You may be functioning as a child or functioning as a son. Better than functioning as a sinner saved by grace.
Yes.
That's better, but the ultimate is a mature man in him. To where you think like him, look like him, see like him. Even better, others see you like that. It's a much better testimony when someone comes to you, I see God in you. What? And you're looking, you know. You don't see it, but when someone comes, that's the ultimate deal. You haven't convinced them, you know. When they see something in you that you don't see yourself, that to me, that's really a God deal, you know. And it's only happened to me a few times. One time, I'm in college, and I'm trying to, you know, walk in the stuff, and I had worked at a Christian sports camp, and I'd learned that, you know, to live for the Lord, I need to believe the scripture that, you know, lo, I'm with you, always into the earth, last verse in Matthew, you know. And so I'm running sprints in the heat of Oklahoma, and I'm like, okay, well, Jesus, what would you do now, right? He says, well, I'm an encourager. I go, so how do I do that in college football, right? I'm built to destroy. You know, I'm built to crush and to kill and to be number one and to be... In our school, we were ranked that high. This is not a sports deal. But in the midst of my life, he goes, in life that day was running sprints. And he goes, well, encourage. I go, what do you mean encourage? Well, you sprinted. Now jog back and encourage the rest of the team. Oh, no one else is doing that. What about them? What are, you know, you asked. I told you. So now your option. So I jog back and I'm exhausted because, you know, we're running sprints and I'm like, you know, and it's like day 4, 5, or 6. I'm in the shower, you know, and, you know, we all shower, you know, nude, right? So you're very vulnerable in the shower, you know, and I'm in the shower. These two guys approach me in the shower. And they're bigger than me. And I'm a big guy, but these guys are bigger than me, right? They go, man, what are you doing out there? I'm like, I'm thinking, can we talk after the shower? Yeah. You're not only in my space, but this is odd. Yeah. And so, and you're bigger than me. You know, I'm thinking, what's going to happen here? I worked in a prison once, and, you know, I'm thinking. So, they're like, what are you doing up there? And I go, nothing. Can I get my towel? You know? They said, what were you doing up there? And I'm like, oh, you know, big team, you know, little me. It's all about us, not about the individual. Can I go now? They pick me up, and I'm about, I don't know, 2 feet off the ground with, you know, one hand under one shoulder, so now I'm really exposed, you know. And they make me tell them about Jesus.
Wow.
And I'm like, fine, Jesus is an encourager, and I was encouraging like Jesus. And they lower me down, you know, because it's my skin on the wall, right, you know. And they go, that's cool. And they walk away. I go, wait a minute here. I'm not an evangelist. I don't like people enough to tell them really about the Lord. And those guys made me tell them about Jesus. This is kind of cool. That's a neat gospel when they come to you and demand what's going on, right? And then you know your life is doing something, right? And that's the life you're all called to have, where they come to you, not you gotta go run them down and hide something in their books or run them over. You know? I've tried, that works though. You can't do that. But don't do that at home. No license to do that. Dare, circle, fun, moving from, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm gonna go do it. So, the technon, the Greek word technon means child, right? So, when you get saved, you're still a child. You think, I mean, this whole kingdom thing is new, and the Father treats you like a big father, and you're a baby, and that's all good, and whatever you ask for, you get during that season, and that season goes by real quick, you know, and all of a sudden you're still facing real life. You're like, well, what? And you got to learn some disciplines and learn what faith is, what believing is, and hopefully you get into a living church, not to a dead church, because you get caught in that rules living, and it's not relationship living. And but you need to go from being a child to being a son, okay? And I just talked about, it's, you know, son of God. I mean, like, I don't say I'm a Christian anymore, okay? Because Christian means Christ-like. You're called to be Christ in the earth. Okay? That's who you're called to be. Well, you can't be. Well, he wants to make you that way. It says in Exodus that when Moses was contending with, what's his name? I have a scripture too for that. With Pharaoh, it says that, I think it's Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. But he says that he made Moses God to Pharaoh. Yeah, and it wasn't Moses' choice, but to be effective in the planet at that time, because the Pharaohs thought they were God on earth. They thought they were a reincarnation, right? And so if you wanted to go against a God, you had to be one. So God said, okay, I got this. I'll make you God to Pharaoh. And the places where you guys are and where we are, he has to do something in us to change this world. It ain't going to happen because we sing some good songs.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, songs are needed, it's good, but he needs transformed people. We need to be transfigured. We need to be something totally new. And if you go down the strange path of DNA, there are rules. When they started breaking up the genome code, there are like, it's like 45 rules about DNA, because there's going to come a day where, you know, we have the whole, you know, we're still not really good on the racial reconciliation, black and white, you know. Back in the day, black people were inferior. There are rules written right now that you cannot be discriminated against by your DNA, okay? Because soon there'll be DNA profiling, okay? Now, the rules are already written. If you don't have da-da-da-da-da, you're not a lesser person. If you've got animal DNA in you, you're not a lesser person. You're now, I mean, there's already written, right? Wow. And I did a Google search, and I was like, oh my gosh. You know, so anyway, so there's these rules written out there for the, if we go down that route where they start valuing by your DNA, and, you know, when you go through the airport screen, they're checking for metal, there's soon be screeners checking you for what your DNA thing is. Now, you may have heard the stuff that talks about believers have a different strand in there, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's rules written. If you've got more or less, you're still okay, right? And believers have more, okay? So now we're okay, but soon they may add a rule going, if you have this, then you're not the type we want to be around with, right? And so, anyway, so the Father wants to change all of you. Spirit, soul, and body, all this stuff, right? And it works better if you partner with him. Kind of deal. But he never forced you to do stuff, right? So when Moses slowly agreed to, yeah, okay, I'll go talk to Pharaoh, you know, and with a few conditions, I need someone to speak for me. Oh, whatever. Okay, here's your brother, or cousin Aaron, whatever Aaron was. And he prepped him, but he says he made Moses God to Pharaoh. So when Pharaoh saw Moses, who he knew Moses, right? They grew up together. Yeah. Of course, in the movies, we all watch the movie. And the scriptures too, right? But so they knew each other, but all of a sudden, he was different to Pharaoh. Right now, it'd be kind of cool to get the soundtrack or the whatever, how Pharaoh saw the guy he had seen earlier, and why he why he treated them different, why do you speak for God and speak for all these Hebrew slaves? There's no conversation about that. All of a sudden, they were now eye to eye, right? It was something God did, right? But God wants to do that with you too. I'm pointing now for the people to take, you know. But do you want to volunteer, or do you want to just watch others be changed, right? And again, it's not a lesser or better thing. It's just God's got a plan, right? I released a word on the podcast that was like, God, I can't say this. He said, we all know that, you know, salvation did not come from people thinking it up, right? You know, there weren't enough people praying enough for God to come and do that. The Bible says in the Old New Testament that salvation came from his right hand. It's something that he did. He initiated the whole plan for salvation. We're good with that, right? And so the Lord says, there's too much unbelief in my people. I'm like, yeah, your people, you know. And he goes, in you too. Well, yeah, okay, me and them, we're working on it. He goes, how do you say it? According to the things I want to accomplish, I need more believers. We all know the scripture says that all things are possible for those who believe, right? So he goes, I need those people. I'm like, well, we're trying, you know, we got better speakers out there now, better teachers, we're all, you know, we're trying to be believing believers and believe and believe, 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 and believe, and believe. And he goes, yeah, just not fast enough. I'm thinking, are you going to wipe us out? I mean, because in Moses' time, right, he goes, these guys are not cutting in, I'm going to wipe them out. And Moses intercedes and says, hold time. You know, if you do that, and you can, other folks are going to think that you're a weird God that takes people out and then wipes them all out. And then he says, I'll make them from your line, which I'd have been like, oh, okay, let's do that. So in this whatever thing I'm having, he says, y'all are not getting it. And I'm thinking like, I'm thinking the spot and wrinkle thingy, and everyone in the spot's gonna be wiped off, and I'm sure I got lots of spots, and we're all gonna be poof gone. You know, it won't be a rapture, it'll be a purge, you know, kind of deal. And I'm like going, oh gosh. Something like, so did we prepare? Or there'll be I wake up tomorrow and I'll be in heaven, and there'll be a new race of people on the earth that will believe God.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, the flood was that kind of thing, right? So I'm like going, so what do you say? He says, I'm going to send the chariots. I'm like going to kill everybody. Very negative view thing. I'm releasing the chariots to separate unbelief from my people. Well, I went like, yes. You can't do that. We want to be unbelievers. We want to go through this process. We want to get some scriptures down. We want to earn the right for the throne. You know, I'm going through how you just can't do that. We have a right. We won't be stupid, we'll be stupid. Bless you, Lord. You know? And he goes, nope. I'm going like, you know, I'm in this chapter and verse, and then I see the scripture about Elijah and Elisha, right? And it says that, not that yet, it says that the chariots came and separated them two, right? And then the whirlwind took Elijah up, right? Now, if he would not have separated them, then they both would have gone up, okay? That's a whole teaching there, right? So they're walking together. The chariot came and split them up. And the whirlwind came and took Elijah up. So I'm going, I remember the scripture. Thank you for the chapter and verse. He says, I'm sending my chariots to split off unbelief from my people.
Yeah.
So that you can be believers. And I said, is that legal? I mean, you know, because I mean, I'm making like, and he goes, I brought salvation by my arm. I'm going to bring this. I'm like, wow, thank you for this. This is a great time with you. Wow. Now put it in a podcast and share it. I mean, my church thinks I'm a heretic right now. I mean, this is like, I mean, I don't believe this. I mean, I'm like going, so will we see the chariot? Will I feel something move me? And I'm on my head, right, going, will I feel the belief? Will you pull it out this way? You know? And so I'm learning to stop trying to wait to understand and just go, okay, you know. So I slowly went, okay, because you know, really this last year and a half, I'm trying to fast or just say yes and not need to understand. I know, I mean, I'm a big, if I don't understand, I'm not doing it. But so on a pod, it's a wild podcast because I say what I said, my scripture's in there, and it's not something that, it's something he's doing, right? Mm-hmm. And so I haven't got an email from anybody saying, hey, I was sleeping, and then I was woken up by this chariot wheel. I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't know how it's going to manifest. I don't know the timing of it, but that podcast is called The Chariots Are Coming or Chariots or something. It's just wild. But if you've got any unbelief in you, and you know that, it's very simple. There's unbelief, and you know the scripture, all things are possible for those who believe, right? Mm-hmm. And you got the one guy, help my unbelief type deal. So if you want to be in the camp of believers, go listen to that podcast and go, Father, if this is real, if this is you, I don't want any unbelief in me. Please get it out however, you know. Amen. Now, I fast to get unbelief out. I mean, I do. I fast and I meditate on scripture and I memorize scripture. And when he said that, I said, like, well, that seems like a shortcut. You know what I mean? and it is, but the motivation wasn't about me. It was like, I need people who are believing to help me do what I want to do in the earth. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like a desperation deal. Like, I got to do something because y'all are just not. And I'm like going, I wanted to apologize for the whole human race. Well, I want to say that on behalf of all of us, we our heart is right in the right place and we're trying to organize, you know. We're doing that bench thing. Yeah. Yeah. It was like, It felt like there was this time tape. There's this time system, right?
God has a timetable.
And it felt like we weren't in the right place yet. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to do something to get us in the right place so that he can do what he wants to do. And I think that's more of his mercy and grace thing. But I still don't know if he's allowed to do it. I mean, you know, So listen to that podcast. If you want to wrestle with something, you listen to that one because I think you hear my voice trembling in there because it's like, I heard someone say, I'm not saying it's God, but it could be, and you know, I think he wants to do. We need to be willing to be mature, right? Yeah. And if it's true that sons are led, we're not being dragged, right? He'll say, go to that meeting, and we go, why? And that's a rebellious person, right? That's me a lot. But when you go expecting that if he says there'll be something there for you, right? Because we have to change, right? You know, he loves us as we are. But as we are, can get done what we're called to do, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like, I don't like you. No, he loves you, and he's okay with you being you. I had this dream vision thing one time where I saw, I guess it was the Father God, and he was holding a baby, right? And I could just see the care and the concern of the father figure holding this baby, right? And I could tell the baby was secure and comfortable, and it was like, yeah. And I'm thinking, oh, this is a picture for me as a father of a daughter, and I'm supposed to, you know, be that loving and caring for a child. So then I looked again, and the baby now was like a teenager. So the baby could, teenagers could speak and interact, right? And the baby was a girl, and the girl said to the father figure, hey, I'm okay now. I can stand on my own, and you don't have to carry me. And the voice from the father figure said, you're not quite ready yet. Trust me and stay in my arms, and I'll let you know when you're ready to go to stand and go do stuff. And the girl looked up, and I don't know how you can see that, but the girl looked up with love in her eyes and connected with the love in the father's eyes. It was like, okay, I'll stay here until he says it's time to go. And I thought, wow, that's trust. I mean, I wish I had that kind of trust. And, you know, I'm like, oh, man, does my daughter have that kind of trust for me? And I'm, do I have that kind of trust the father? So I'm going back and reflecting on me. So I look again at the scene, and the teenage girl is now in a formal dress, right, in the high heels. So this is, she's now older and more mature. She's taller, and she's a woman now, right? And she looks up to the father and says, I know now I'm ready, you know, and I can go do things with you because I've been in your arms all this time. And the father says, no, you're not ready for the things which are out there. But this time she says, yes, I am, and jumps out of his arms and walks away, turns and says, I've got this. Thank you for all that you've done for me. I'll be back. And then turns and walks. And I'm thinking like, yay, she knows who she is, and I'm applauding it. But I'm thinking, okay, good, you waited all this time, great. Then I look at the father's face, I see a tear go down his eye, go down his cheek, and I'm like, wait a minute. I thought she's ready, she looks ready, she says she's ready, but the father knows she's not ready. And I went like, what does this mean? He says, my people should be sent from me, but they leave a little early. And I'm like, because we think we're ready, right? We look ready, we've got some better thinking and stuff. And I thought, what is going to happen to this mature person who went out there without all that she needed, right? And we need to stay with the Father until he says we're ready. And that's real maturity. It's not afraid of what's out there. It's that trust factor. He knows what we don't know, okay? And definitely don't go out when people say you're ready. Yep. Oh, Wally, we read your 4 books. We're gonna launch you. Here's money to go. And well-meaning, right? I remember one time I'm in prayer school, and I went to Bible school in Sweden. And so during the day, our classes were in English, and then the prayer school leader, she would teach about 30 minutes, and then we would pray for stuff for about 20 or 30 minutes. So it was prayer school every day. So the first few weeks, you know, I learned all about prayer, and I thought, okay, I've got this down. It's like, you know, week 4 or 5 or 6, maybe like month 2 or 3. Okay, I'm ready, you know, I've got this. So inside, I'm thinking, I'm ready. And then one day, and then so prayer school, we had like several hundred people, right? So one day she calls me out and says, lead this prayer. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, I'm ready. Give me the mic, right? I get the microphone, and so I'm on stage, and there's, I don't know, a couple hundred folks there in prayer school. And then, you know, I pray, we kind of follow out deal. And I'm ready. I wasn't ready a month ago, but I've got this, right? And I remember, I think, starting this way, and I'm, you know, my arm out there going this, and I got these bold tongues going. And I remember getting this, and then I remember pivoting, and something happened to where my tongues were, please take the microphone away. And it felt like I was physically hit by something. Mm-hmm. As I walked by her, I'm giving the, I'm doing this. She's like, I'm like. And I'm thinking, what's happening? I felt a level of resistance that I didn't know existed, right? And all I know is my mind went blank. I didn't know what I was doing. I knew I was on a stage. I knew I was walking. I had no idea what I was doing other than moving down the stage, and I had this thing in my hand called a microphone was bad, and I needed to give it away, and she wouldn't take it. And so I'm praying in tongues still, but you know, the Bible says in Corinthians 14 that when you pray in tongues, your mind is not, it's there, but your mind is not receiving the fruit of your tongue, right? Because you're praying, your mind has no understanding. But my mind, when I pray in tongues normally, my mind's engaged, but now my mind is blank. Like, where am I? Who am I? What is going on? I'm in danger, right? Run away, go home, under the blankets, under the, you know. And so, but I'm praying in tongues because I'm praying in tongues, but I swear my tongues are, please take the microphone away. Help me, help me, help me. And every time I pass her, I'm like, she's like, and I'm like, she is torturing me, you know. And I don't know how many times I pace back and forth, but my, you know, when you pray, you supposed to pray in faith, praying in tongues, even more faith, but I'm not in faith, I'm in fear, right? And I'm like, why won't you take this from me, right? I know I can throw it because I've got 200 plus people looking at me. You know, you just can't go, This is not drop mic time either. So finally she grabs the, she takes the mic from me, and I get down and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. My mind is like, this is blank. And I'm like, I don't have a blank mind. My mind's always active and there's things, there's thoughts, you know, and it's this blank screen. And I'm like, what? And so we always have, you know, question and answers after prayer school. There's always a long line. So I wait till I'm the last person, and I get to her, and I go, I have a new respect for you. She goes, what do you mean, all cute, you know, what do you mean? Well, it was like, so I played high school football and I played college football. And in high school football, you know, you get hit, it's one of these, you know, some force, you know. In college football, there's a hole in the wall, okay, you know. And in pro football, the whole wall goes away. So I played the high school level, and I played the college level, and I tried out for the pro level, right? In that prayer thingy, I thought the resistance was one of these. I got knocked out to where I could not think, right? So I tell her, I go, what is it? She goes, oh, that's just resistance. I go, just resistance? My mind was gone, you know? And did you know? Well, she smiled. I was like, yeah. And I was like, how do you get ready for this thing, right? What do you, and, you know, what? She's, well, she just smiled and goes, well, you know, you gotta believe. I'm like, you know? And so when I talk about this, you know, this mature, this place in the Father, this less unbelief, less fear, more faith, more love. It's out there, you know, and it's for you. But we need to get there, right? Because you don't instantly get there. Okay, tell one more story, then we'll tell you how to get there. Ian has a teaching called the armor, the three armors, and armor light or something armor, right? And it's an old teaching, but pretty much there's an armor of light, an armor of might, and an armor of righteousness, okay? And you put these armors on, you do like 21 days thinking. And so 5 or 6 years ago, my first Ian conference, I was believing everything. Whatever armors, just put them on, you know? And so I went through this process, and if you're interested in that, it's a really cool deal. So the end of all the days, I think I went like 63 days because I think I skipped a few days or whatever. And so I'm like, just by faith, I'm just covered with this armor of light, right? It's Romans 13 scripture. And I got this might thing on, and I'm feeling like, let's see if this is real. So I'm like, angels, let's go find some demons and kick some butt. That's what I say, you know? And I'm waiting for these angels to go, let's go to that! And they're like, and I'm like, I mean, I'm willing to fight now and not be, you know, I want to do something. And they're like, okay, whatever, we're going to. And I had a friend that was ministering in Colombia. And Colombia, one of those, a bad place. There's drug cartels there. And so in my imagination, I go, we're going to Colombia to help my friend out. And we go to Colombia, you know, in my imagination. And we land there in Colombia, and I'm looking for a demon to try out my armor on. That's my goal. So if I've got this light thingy and this might thingy and this righteousness, and righteousness is you're in Jesus, right? And so I'm thinking, bring it on, you know? And I'm like, bring it on! And there's no response. So we go into a bar, bring it on! There's no demons. And I'm going over, bring it on! And I can't find a demon. I'm thinking, I know, I'll go to a church. Hang out there. So, you know, demons go to church more than we do, right? You don't know that. So I go in this church, I go, all right! I look at my angel, you guys are going to find some demons because I'm not wasting my armor. And so we're there, we can't find any demons. And I'm like, now when I'm not looking for demons, they're everywhere, you know, I can't sleep, get a nightmare, you know. Now I'm looking and I can't find anything. I'm thinking, my imagination's gotten really bad. I can't even conjure up a demon, you know. So I'm back in my room, kind of mad. you know, that I haven't done, I've got this thing, I've been doing it for 63 days, and I want to test out this stuff, right? I want to make a practical deal. I want to make a difference, right? And I can't find a difference to make, all right? So I'm like, I'm going to ask God, you know? So you guys are like, you guys ask God first. I always ask God later, you know? So I've done this whole thing, and I finally go, hey, what's going on here? Why can't I find a demon? So the Lord's always willing to talk to you if you really come to him, right? He says, well, and he knows me, he gives me chapter and verse. So we know the story about the demoniac from Gardenia had 1,000 in them. So, you know, Jesus lands on the ground, the guy runs up, he's been slashing and breaking chains and stuff, he's got all these demons in him. And he runs up, and the demons say, why you've come to torment us before our time? Kind of, that's King James, real okay story, kind of tracking. So that's the answer the Father gives me. I go, so? You know, he repeats it. The demons say, why you come to torment us before our time? And the Lord goes, when you landed there, the demons could see you in Jesus, in light, in armor, and they were thinking, we know Jesus can stop our time on earth. We want to the demons want to finish their mission best as possible. So just in case he is walking like Jesus, we don't want to mess with him, so they ran away. I went, are you telling me? I hit level 2,000, the demon-free zone that I'm now walking around with no resistance. The Lord didn't say anything, but I went, I'm at level 2,000. I finally made it. I'm now free of demons. So that week, my pride meter was like, my head was like this big spiritual. And I'm walking around, you can't touch me. Matter of fact, you're afraid of me. And that whole week was an amazing week. There was nothing around, you know? And so I spent most of my time on the weekends with the Father, because weekday, this work and stuff and distraction. So Saturday, I'm like going, I like this level, it's pretty cool. Again, I'm thinking linear, right? Level 2000. Right? And I'm like, this is a great place. I'm now untouchable. There's nothing in me. Chapter and verse, Jesus, demon, devil says, nothing in me. I arrived. You know. And the Lord goes, you think that's all there is? I'm like, yeah, right? There's only demons, right? And at level 2000, we're good. I'm in you, in your life. He goes, oh, there's much bigger things out there. Oh, come on! And what happened to me was I thought I got to a place where I didn't need him, okay? I got to a place where I was so equipped, I knew enough wisdom, I had enough stuff that, Father, I got this, you know? And he goes, and he didn't say this, but the implied thing is, you always need me. And so I would tell you that maturity is greater dependence upon him, not lesser dependence. Mm-hmm. If you get to the place where you think this area of my life is covered by the blood, no. it is covered, but you still need him in everything. Don't assume anything. Only assume that you need to walk in relationship, okay? And that's where life is in the relationships, in the day-to-day, moment-by-moment, everything. If you don't understand something, he has the answer, but he wants you not to demand it. But in your interaction, you'll get answers to the thing you need now and things you need later, the things you needed last year, but in the relationship, not in the demand, not in the scripture, not in the law, not in the legal, but in relationship. So I sat there in my bed going, so this is all good, but you saw my heart where I thought I didn't need your help in something. Huh. Okay, so, I always need you. Yeah, because it's always relationship. It's not a legal partnership. You know, contract, you know, signed for 10 years. At the end of 10 years, we go our separate ways. It's not that. When you come into the Father, it's forever and ever and ever beyond that, right? And if you have that mindset, no matter what you face, he's always with you. Even though you may not know the scripture or the wisdom or whatever, But in relationship, he's got you, right? It's not about you knowing what to do, it's who you know, right? So if you're working on a relationship, not about the, well, I need one more encounter. You don't need another encounter, you need a relationship. You need a living, vital relationship, right? Not just the, he walks to me and talks to me. You need an Enoch walk with me and then one day you're gone deal. We need to have the level of, how do you walk with the Father for 365 years and have a family? We need to press into that, right? And so that's what we're going to do today. So we got 30-ish more minutes from that. We're good. So let me share this encounter. So in March of last year, Elijah said to me, return often to this place, return to this mountain. In the scripture, Hebrews 12:22. Do not come with only the intention of engaging me or the chariot or the winds, but come with the intention to continue your transfiguration. Some of us get happy with this having an encounter, right? We talk about it, go, oh, I had an encounter 8 years ago. But Elijah's saying to me, hey, that was nice you came, nice we talked. Because in Matthew 17, when Jesus has an encounter with Elijah and Moses, I've been pressing in that for like, I don't know, a decade, right? And I'd wanted that, so I finally meet Elijah and have this deal. And he goes, hey, we're talking, but don't stop with me. Keep pressing on for more changes, right? There's more. Don't just be happy with you finally got your verse, your Matthew 17 encounter. Yay, good, you can write a book if you want to, but don't stop, right? Don't stop with, you know, you hit that sound, you hit that place, you hit that level, you hit that. But if you have a mindset of this linear thing, you get to a goal and you think you're done, right? But in a circular mindset, it's never ending, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like what do you mean the race isn't over? Yes. But at the same time, he gives you the strength to keep going, right? If you will draw strength from him. If you draw strength from your understanding of, well, I thought we'd run the race and we crush, you know, come across the finish line and we're done. You know, that's how church thinks, right? And that's how we get all compartmentalized. You know, we have our Monday life and our Tuesday life and our weekday life and da-da-da life. But in a circular mentality, it's unending, right? If you realize your life's unending, that means his love for you is unending. There's never like, oh, I've got it all. No, there's more. It's a flow, right? This ends. Linear things end. And so a lot of us fear the one day I'll get to the end. But in a circular mentality, there's no end, right? It just goes on and on and on and on and on. But in God, it's not on and on boring, like I've been here before, we're going to run the mountain again. Oh my gosh. It's like, it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's if you walk with them, or you being like dragged by momentum. You know? So don't do that. So Elijah went on and said, it is written that sons go up into the mountain, in Matthew 17, up into the mountain to be changed and receive counsel. So in Matthew 17, Jesus got counsel from Elijah and Moses, right? This is also known as coming boldly before his throne, the Father's throne, Hebrews 4:16. This is a way of being who you are. This is the way. Return often to this place. Return to this mountain. So the mountain in Hebrews 12, verse 22, we talk about the mountain and the angels, the myriad, and Jesus, all that's there, right? In Matthew 17, verse 1, it says, Jesus took James, John, and Peter up to a mountain to pray. So sons go up to the mountain, right? There's something you got to do. This is your participation, right? God doesn't drag you someplace. He invites you, and we get to respond, right? And we respond faster out of relationship. But if we have a legal thing, we don't respond. You don't respond out of obligation, right? You respond out of relationship. It's much better. In the Hebrews 4:16, if the throne of grace is available to everybody, and it says in Hebrews 4:16 to come boldly, why don't we go? And receive grace for your time of need. Why don't we go? Well, either you don't know you can go. Well, that's now gone. You can go. Now that you know you go, why don't you go? Well, and why aren't you going expecting? He says receive. You can receive and receive and receive from there. Why don't you go? Well, I went one time and, okay, this is the problem with the body of Christ. We go one time, two times, three times, don't get what we expect, and we stop. And we go, didn't work. The Bible says, knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. We think, I saw it 12 times or 12 years. And we give up. We stop, right? And it's like, we just don't know what's going on in the invisible realm, right? We just don't know how close our breakthrough is. We look at the calendar, look at the clock. We measure our success by what we've acquired. Do not do that, okay? Set your mind on things above, which is the invisible realm, right? And so, for example, when I was going to a church in Alabama, I thought I found the church. I thought. Then 2 years later, I was in a car wreck, and this deacon drove us back. We were all fine and healthy. Shouldn't have been. I was in the back seat, no seatbelt, and we hit something, and I didn't go through the windshield. I just went up. I was like, that was fun, you know? So don't, but still buckle up, right? But anyway, so we're driving back from Birmingham, and the elder of our church turns to me and says, have I told you how you got to the church? I'm thinking, how can you tell me how I got to our church? I am me, and I know me, I know what I did. And I said, his name is Jack. So Jack, tell me how I got to the church. Thinking he can't tell me how I got to the church. He says, well, when I met your father, oh, that's right, he worked with my dad. My dad's a colonel in the army, he's retired. And he met my dad, and he went to his prayer place, and he said, Father, how do I reach this guy to the kingdom? So he goes directly first to the Father. I'm getting better at that. But so he had a mission and goes, ask the Father for guidance, goes to his prayer farm. The Father says to him, ask about his son. He goes back to his job on Monday. Hey, Mr. Johnson, tell me about your son. Oh, my son, he's like you. And so Jack goes back to the farm next weekend and says, oh, so Mr. Johnson says his son, he says, pray for his son. If you pray for his son to come to church, his family will get saved. So Jack is telling me this. I'm like going, I don't know this. You've never been, what? And in that time, my sister got saved at that church, right? I'm looking at this guy going, your prayers had something to do with me getting it? He goes, yeah. I'm thinking like, if that is true, how much more is going on behind the scenes for my good? Should I be believing that? Should I actually believe that all things work together for the good? Or do I just kind of go, well, okay, so it's raw, whatever be, will be, I'll have a good day, a bad day. Or do I want to engage with believing? I'm telling you, there's a lot that we need to partner with on the invisible realm for our good. You know, things need to happen. We need to put our trust in the Father, right? And let him be good to us and receive his goodness. We need to work on receiving. That was another word for you guys. He said, it's really for definitely the church that meets tomorrow, but part of you guys are here. He says, the more that you go to the heavens and know my goodness, you'll be transformed and be made better receivers. Because most people, he said, and it's for this region, you don't receive very well. You just give them the gift, and you're like, I don't need it. You push it away. And the Father is trying to give a lot of stuff to you guys, and you're not willing to receive. For whatever reason, you know, well, I had a bad... Stop that and start receiving the things from God. Start expecting great and amazing things from the Father. Now, and maybe this region is into, you know, one time someone was bad and gave a gift and was a bomb, therefore all things are bad like that. Just break it off yourself and be open to things from the Father. I know in my spiritual homeland is Huntsville, Alabama, and Leavenworth, Kansas. And in Huntsville, in a series of years, we had this amazing prophetic gift come into town. And this is back when only prophets I knew were in the Old Testament, right? This guy came to town and literally, I was there. He'd look at you and go, give me your address and say things about your life. And I'm there going like, what? Is that real? I mean, I'm like, oh my gosh. So this guy hits the town and the first meeting, it was only like this size, you know. because no one believed in prophets, because that was, you know. And he's, I mean, it's accurate beyond accurate, right? And then the next year he comes again, the room's much bigger, and everyone had heard about this, and they all came to check him out, right? So year three, it's really, it's auditorium, it's packed, and the Spirit-filled denominations there, and even some of the non-denominations, I mean, the traditional Baptist folks were there. And they don't believe in Jack, but they had heard about, you know. I mean, when you start naming street number and where you were at 6 years old and down to that detail, you're coming for that show, right? You know? And we were all like, whoa, right? So then year four, the guy comes back to town and stays in town and sets up a church on the outskirts of town, right? And it was like, he's here, the guy, you know? And it's true, Jesus is alive, you know, kind of. And he starts his church, and so I was just graduated college, so I was in my 20s, I think. And so I was in that little group in our city that was, you know, we were the next guard, right? We were up-and-coming leaders, you know, and we were, you know. So all of my friends in that group got to be on staff at that church. Then I got the phone call. You're invited. And I'm thinking, you know, linear, I'm now that next level. I'm invited to a new level, right? To be at the church where a guy is actually hearing from God at that level of detail, I get to be on his staff, right? And as they invite me, in my spirit, I hear this little tiny no. And I'm like, what? I mean, I've been living for this. I've been, you know, this is it, right? And I say no, and they go, why? Well, Wally, this is what we're wanting for. Now the church is united around the power, and da 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 da. And I'm like, yeah, but something inside says no. Okay, well, the door's always open. I'm like, okay, so I'll get rid of my unbelief and my fear or whatever, and I'll join next week or whatever, right? So I don't join, and then a rumor went around that if you wanted a prophecy, you could pay for it. Right. And I thought, oh, no, that can't be right. It's a devil twisting things, right? Then I heard from some better sources. I said, well, you know, workman is worthy of his hire, you know, chapter and verse, right? And, but I'm thinking, like, you know, and then I thought, well, you know, I mean, you gotta live off, Levites live off, you know, so I'm justifying it, you know, and the church outside there is growing, you know, people are leaving from all of our churches and going out there, right? And maybe, I don't know, 6 months, 9 months later, the guy disappears. Leaves with money and stuff. And all my friends are now like heartbroken because they put their trust in a guy, right? Well, so the church is imploding and disappeared too. But what happened to the city was we all hated the prophetic.
Yeah.
So now prophecy and prophetic was now a big X.
Right.
Yeah. So all the non-believing churches were like, we told you. Right, because that stuff was gone. All the cessation churches were like, we told you, you know. And all the spirits were like going, man, false prophet, therefore all. So over a whole city, we were now non-believing. And it shut it down, right? And no one prophesied anymore. I mean, we were a spiritual church, and God still speaking, we're like, we're all afraid to become like that guy, right? So we all went... No, you know, and so I left the town, not because of that, because we just kind of, you know, we all had this doubt now about the prophetic, right? A major doubt, because this guy was such a high level deal, and then he went off. And so for years after that, I was like, oh, I can't go deep in the spirit because you may stumble like that guy, right? So I had a fear of failure or fear of getting corrupted or fear of something. And that fear is kind of like, it just gripped everybody in the whole town, you know. And I in May, I hadn't been back to that town in 23 years. And I just went back in May. And I was like, and it's still there. That, it's like a dome over a city.
Wow.
And I'm like, man. So when you see something that goes off, that doesn't mean it's off, right? You go back to your relationship. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you say, Father, I'm sorry I jumped out of your arms early, right? I thought I was ready, you know. He allows us to get back in his arms. That's the place called rest. Rest isn't just a feeling, it's a place. And it's in Hebrews 4. And in that place, I believe the seven spirits teach there. I believe the Father's there hanging out. But it's a place of security, and it's just, you know, if it was a movie, or it's the, you know, place of the Fortress of Solitude that Superman has, but it's better than that. But I forgot to tell you, you guys could ask questions anytime. So I'm like that. I'm looking at the clock. I'm not a clock watcher, but I do feel some kind of some wonderings out there, and I'm way non-formal or free enough for you to ask a question that won't take me off mark, but I really want to make sure you are getting what you're getting and needing, and all questions are good. So I'm sorry I didn't share that earlier with you, but if you have a question about this, and I think in the next session we'll go more into this process of the Father making us. We all know the analogy of the potter's wheel thingy, that he's the potter, we're the clay. We got to stay on the wheel, okay? And we're going to talk about that, because you can get off the wheel all the time, but you may not be refined yet. So in this next session, we'll talk about that. So if you're nervous about the recording, I'll stop recording.